Generate is supporting my vision to improve the financial literacy of 100,000 Kiwis by sponsoring Keep the Change. Cheers, Generate. Head to generatekiwisaver.co.nz/change to find out more. Getting in the KiwiSaver fund that suits you and your situation is key to making sure you're maximising your investment. Generate are an award-winning KiwiSaver provider with a track record of long-term performance, and they can help you do exactly this. Their advisors can meet with you to talk about all your options when it comes to KiwiSaver to help you decide what's best for you. Too many people never get KiwiSaver advice, but not you. Go to generatekiwisaver.co.nz/change to book a no-obligation chat with a Generate advisor. A copy of the product disclosure statement is available at generatekiwisaver.co.nz. The issuer of the scheme is Generate Investment Management Limited. And of course, past performance does not guarantee future returns. Welcome in. You are listening to another episode of the Keep the Change podcast, one of the most rated podcasts in the country. And this could be one of the most important lessons of the Keep the Change catalog and history. Mikey, a pleasure as always to have you join me. This one has been some time coming.
Yeah, man. You gave me this headline with no real context of what we're doing. And I just went and wrote notes, man.
I like it. So the headline is, sorry, but the answer is make more money.
Yeah.
The amount of questions that we get where it's this long-winded question about something with all these different variables, and very simply the answer is you need to make more money.
Mm.
And it got me thinking, you know, probably 3 years into this now, even longer with the written version of Keep the Change, how people still don't grasp it. And part of this podcast almost comes out of frustration of like, how many times do we need to tell you like this is the answer? But then I started thinking, that's easy to say, but need to figure out how to articulate it in a way for people to understand that it's the truth.
Yeah. You came to me and said, I think we'll just turn the podcast off. And I'd just say, we'll be back later.
So I think to start, the way I thought about this, mate, is basically, let's say that... Well, let's just set the scene. So for a number of years, inflation's been low, interest rates have been coming down, they've been low, we've been pumping money into the system, and things have been relatively easy. Something changes out there and we're like, this sucks, i.e. a pandemic. Now on the other side of that, we're dealing with inflation and the cost of living and all those sorts of things. So life's, for some people, easy, if you look at it as being easy, but there's always ways for it to be hard. And I think once we get through inflation, there'll be something else that will happen. Well, natural disasters and stuff, those pop up through those times. But I think for some time, people haven't really had to learn any skills of making more money.
Mm.
And that made me think, okay, so those people asking and not accepting that they need to make more money, it's probably quite fair, because historically, for some time now, we haven't really had to, unless you really want to go and chase your goals and have bigger dreams and you realize the vehicle you're in isn't going to get you there, and you realize, okay, I'm going to have to go out and make more money. But for a lot of people, we've just been able to go through life and not have to learn about making extra money. So then if you did go and do that and talk about that, tall poppy, oh, you're a fucking rich asshole, you're greedy, come on, man, have some balance in your life. Why do you always talk about money? Why do you got to be like that? Don't you want your weekends back? Seriously, should I only have to work 9 to 5?
Balance.
And all of that shit is basically now thrown out the window.
Yeah,
because people are like, I can't afford stuff. The country feels broken. I got a message yesterday. Hey, friends of mine, two of them, they both service the country in different roles that we really need. They are having to sell toys and stuff to be able to pay their mortgage. They have two kids, and everybody is feeling this in some way. And again, it's like, okay, sorry, the answer is they need to make more money.
Yeah.
If they want to sustain their lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I don't think people want to hear that. I think that's the first point, is that people haven't had to hear that and they don't want to hear it.
Yeah, it's really interesting, eh? Well, when I was thinking of this, I was like... I think it is exactly what you're saying, hard to get out of the mindset of like everything's bad, there is no solution. Like, I don't watch the news, but I quickly bullet pointed down like a few things that I would think is an issue if I cared about them more. Like government not indexing tax brackets over time, we're going to get fucked there. Inflation is stealing your energy output and destroying your savings. DTIs are coming, ruining your borrowing capacity. Councils are broke, they're going to raise rates. Water infrastructure's fucked, they're going to charge you to do that. EVs are dog shit, they're getting taxed.
Mate, these are all the reasons I had why inflation's going to be here for 10 years, damn it. They're literally the notes I've got written down for that. Yeah,
and then there's you know, mortgage rates coming at you, you know, hard to get out of debt. Like, all of this stuff is piling on people. And if you're not careful about making sure you think about the other side of that stuff, all of the solutions to all of these things is, if you make more money, a lot of these problems go away.
Mm.
But if you get swamped under this stuff, like, you're allowing yourself to never, ever break out of it.
Yeah.
And it's just so detrimental. I just, you know, I don't think, I don't think any of this stuff matters, because it's always been there, or always some version of it.
Mm.
Like, if you go and ask people about, you know, the 60s and 70s and the 80s, like, they've all got something that was like, well, fuck, that was a hard time, or like, but then there's successful people that call that a really good time because they just had a different mindset. And it's a tough one, man. I don't know what the driver is, but I think one of the main issues is the answer is way more simple than we like to believe.
Yeah. And we don't want to, I think part of it is we don't want it to be the answer, because we know two things. One, that we probably haven't learned how to do that. So then secondly, if we do learn how to do it, then we've lost the reason not to, and then we have to figure out, do I have what it takes to go out there and knock on a door, to put something on my socials, all those sorts of things. Now, there's a really good story in my inbox at the moment, and I need to talk to it generally, because this person doesn't want it out there, because they're still like, hey, I'm worried about Tall Poppy.
Incredible.
Yeah.
This is...
And months and months and months ago, they asked, could they help with Keep the Change in some way? And I could tell with the sort of tone and almost desperation in this email that the answer was they needed to make more money.
Mm.
And I'm like, hey, it's probably not something you can help me with, but you might be overthinking this. Go and read or listen to the Ultimate Fuck Inflation Guide. It lays out how to make some extra cash. And then they came back and they said, yeah, well, I'm going to be having a baby, and so we want to stack some money for that. And
some I said, panic kicking in, probably.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so now they're forced to.
Yeah.
So they're basically, they know now that the answer is to make more money. They don't have a choice.
Mm.
They want some security around that. And basically, I then said, well, go and check out Logan Donnelly's podcast, because that's what happened to him. He realized he had to have a baby, then he figured out how to save some money, and then he's gone on his own journey. So again, go away and learn those things. So those two resources. This person came back and checked in a little while later in the year and was like, hey, I just want to let you know what things I've got going on, and I can't believe that I've actually got these opportunities to make some extra cash. Fast forward to this year, the baby's arrived. They said it's absolutely changed their life. It's magnificent. And they've more than doubled in terms of saved what they wanted to save. And they earned a whole week's wages in a day.
Yeah.
So they've completely blown their paradigm of what is possible. And they said, this has completely changed my life. And if it wasn't for the content, I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
Now, we spend a lot of time trying to explore different ways and interview different people that are making extra cash somehow, some way, to try and spark an idea in people's head of how to do it. Because I was like this for years, where I would think, surely it just comes. Like, surely your boss just comes up to you one day and goes like, you know what, Luke, you're awesome at this. We're just going to give you a 10 grand bonus. Now, it wouldn't have mattered, because I would have just pissed it away, because I would have been like, fuck, sick. Okay, then I'm straight to the pub this weekend. But this, you can learn these skills. And that then sort of brought me to, maybe if we look at it in a different way. So let's say that you were going to, because learning to make money is a skill and we don't teach people how to do it. So then we can stay in the trap of, maybe the government will change the tax rate slightly and things will get better. Maybe my employer will give me a slight pay rise.
Maybe my vote matters.
Yeah.
Fuck.
All of that stuff, but life's still getting harder, and the stuff around us is still getting worse. You know, there's more kids in poverty now. Like, everywhere you look, it's not pretty.
Dire.
And people are feeling it. Arrears are at their highest level for years in terms of people behind on their mortgages, cost of living, their telco bills. Buy now, pay later is increasing again. I thought we finally shook that off, but no, it's coming back up. So it got me thinking, right, well, if we could teach people some of these skills, but first they need to believe that they need to go out there and do it. Now, I thought the way to think about it is, let's say that you were going to Germany for a week and you didn't know any German. Now, people would probably be like, well, that's fine. You won't need to know any. You'll be able to speak a bit of English, and here's some basics that you could learn. And you'd go over there and you would have a good time and you would figure it out, but you would probably be into panic mode should you lose your bags or your bags not turn up and everyone's speaking German and you're like, holy shit.
Mm.
But if everything goes perfectly for you and nothing really goes wrong, you probably get through the week fine and you leave Germany and you think, wicked, like I didn't even need to learn any German. And that's a little bit like what's been happening in the economy. Now let's say that someone, your partner, for instance, is like, I've been given a great opportunity. We're going to go live in Germany for the year. You would think, okay, I'm probably going to need to learn some shit about Germany.
Mm.
What to say, how to learn a bit of it, what their culture's like, how am I going to get by?
When Oktoberfest is.
Yeah. How many beers can I have? Is snuff legal? Is it not? Whatever that stuff is, the white powder over there. And you would then go a bit deeper to figure out, what am I going to do whilst I'm there? Where am I going to work? Where am I going to gym? And you would start to figure it out and you would learn that. And people would expect that of you. You wouldn't go over to Germany and be there after a month and be like, fuck all you C-bombs. Why are you speaking German to me? I speak English. tell me what's going on.
This is an epic analogy, eh?
And that's, I think, what Kiwis have still done. They've gone, no. We've been in a low income interest rate environment. We've been in a low inflation environment. The government should sort this out. They're telling us they will. And I don't need to learn the language of making extra money. But we've been in here for a few years now where things have been tricky, and we're in Germany and we're still going to be here for a while. So you can either learn the language of making more money and accept that you need to learn it and that one day you might be able to button off and you don't need to do it as much, or it will become second nature for you, or you're going to have people looking at you going, well, fuck, like, why don't you just learn a little bit of the language so that you can understand how to navigate the new environment that you're in.
Yeah, man. It's interesting, eh? Like, financial literacy, when you boil it down, is doing some maths and then building some discipline. It's not like understanding fucking how the behind the scenes works at the banks and stuff like that, or forecasting what's going to happen with interest rates. Like, the crux of it is putting a little bit of effort in so you can build a foundation, and then the foundation will grow with the right inputs on top of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, complaining about how it's hard now and then, getting someone else to, you know, vote for someone to help them fix like next month when you really need to be learning German because you're going to be doing something for a long term.
Yes.
And making sure that you can get by. Like, you kind of only need to do the basics and build the foundation once. It's not recurring. Some of the stuff is recurring, but once you've got that foundation in place and you can speak German, then opportunities open up because all of a sudden you're speaking a language that the other people around you in that club are speaking.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like,
definitely, because I think the other part to it is that we now live in a very different time to what other people did.
Mm.
So younger people, for instance, might go to their parents and they might just say, well, just work harder, because that may have worked for them. And they're like, these interest rates are fuck all compared to what we had, all that stuff. And so they don't see the opportunity that is there because they didn't grow up with the internet, for instance.
Mm.
Much like you go to Germany, you know what I could do? To make this a bit easier for myself, I could pull out Google Translate. Someone built that for you to help you, so you can use that. Now, there are people all through New Zealand who are showing you different ways to make a bit of cash and to speak the language of making more money, and they're out there doing it, and that's your Google Translate.
Mm.
So get intrigued by, what are they doing? How are they doing that? What things could I learn? That's why I'm trying to interview different people that are doing different things, so you can then be sparked by some of their ideas, because deep down for them, it probably comes back to, I wanted to figure out how to make a bit more money, but first I need to speak or learn the language of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really interesting one because, like, when I think about it and I relate back to kind of the things that I went through to go and make more money, there was just, like, a point where I was like, fuck, I just need to sort this out and go do it.
Yeah.
Like, stop reading and watching podcasts or books and, you know, following financial people. Like, I need to go and take action and start having money credited into my fucking account.
Yeah.
Like, that is the action that starts this thing. And it sounds so basic, but, like, when I look back, like, it truly is.
Mm.
And, you know, it got a little bit more complicated as I started growing and achieving different things, and then opportunities would pop up and I'd say yes and fuck that up and learn to say no. And but rewinding it right back to, man, I need to make some more money, I can't achieve my goals on this 60K salary or whatever, was literally like, I'm not happy with this, I need to go here, start walking that line. And it's, I reckon it's the biggest barrier for people, eh? Because you're like, I don't know what it is, but there's so many reasons. Like, oh, I'm worried about what my friends will say, my parents, or
do I look broke?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Desperate. Well, yeah. I shouldn't have to. Why should I have to?
Yeah, fuck. I got to sell the BMW on finance and buy a Corolla. Mm. Like, that's not cool. You know, people will think that, you know, I'm going backwards and the brain doesn't allow us to not grow. So,
yeah.
You know, the image of growth is not actually what's happening behind the scenes. So you've got to kind of, whoa, shit.
They spilled my water everywhere there.
And man, I reckon that's the hardest barrier.
Yeah.
And it's impossible to do while, like, I talk about this all the time. Like, I think my superpower is not giving a fuck. And what I mean by that is, like, I'm doing my thing, you're doing your thing, we're good. Like, I'm quite happy.
Mm.
And ironically, after a while, people start caring about what you're doing. And, you know, some of the things I get, it's evident that people think I'm wealthier than I am. And I care less about that shit than ever.
Yeah.
So it's like a weird turn of events. And, you know, it's a really interesting sort of dynamic when you get to that stage. Like, you have to take that plunge. It's like going to the top diving board and you just have to jump. And it's the scariest part of it, and it only gets better after then, but it's what's required to build the foundation.
Yeah, and the reason I bring up, like, Google Translate is because you can get inspired by what these people are doing out there, but you have to pull it out of your pocket and you have to type something in and do that for the first time and then have a crack. And then you've still got to say it. So you've got to say, Afita Sane, or whatever, and you're probably going to get it wrong and someone's going to sit there and go, huh?
Yeah, like, what? If you might say konnichiwa and then it's all up the fuck.
Yeah. But eventually you don't need to get it out of your pocket as much because you do it, so you get started and then you're in Germany for the whole year and you start to, oh, I've seen that sign before, I know what that is. And the language starts to become a bit easier. And this is, I think, where there's so many people who make a bit more coin and they want to try and teach other people to get started. But once you've done it, it is very hard to explain that just get started because it's way easier than what you think it is.
Yeah.
And especially there's so many tools now that enable us to do it, like Uber, renting out your home. And I've got a couple of good examples around that in a second, but just going back to what you're saying about people who, you know, don't want to sell the Beamer to get the Corolla because you're worried about what people think. Well, just a heads up, 480,000 people in New Zealand right now are behind on the things that they have financed.
That is terrifying.
So 480,000 people of the credit-worthy population. So
it's like almost 10%.
Yeah, whether we have given them, sorry, the, you know, our utilities providers have given them credit because they haven't paid the bill yet. Yeah, cars, buy now, pay later, whatever people are putting on credit, for there's 480,000 Kiwis that can access credit that are behind. So fuck worrying about what people think if you're going from a Beamer to a Corolla.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a high chance that the person next to you, because once you start stripping out the boomers that don't need to use finance and whatnot, and because they've gone through a life cycle and they've made heaps of coin, if they have, and then the young people who aren't even able to get credit yet, you know, under 16s, I think there's only 3 point something million people 18 and above.
So it's probably 20% that are.
Yeah. You know, so you only really start getting given credit from about 16 onwards. So 480,000 people.
Yeah.
Basically, one in five people that you're hanging out with are behind on what it is that they need to be paying for. And we're worried about what people are going to think about us.
Yeah, yeah.
How silly does that sound?
It is stupid, man. And the more you think about it, and the more you think about it along like the year or a longer time frame, if you fast forward and think back and look at yourself, you're like, oh my God, this is the dumbest shit ever to worry about.
Mm.
Because the result of continuing to do this down here is the same shit. But if I just make the call now and go down this road and learn German, learn how to use the Google Translate, the result is completely different down there. And it like use it to almost scare yourself, I reckon, because it still scares me when I think about stuff like that. I still use it as fuel.
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't get going until my late 20s. And I studied accounting, economics and shit from 15. Mm. So I had probably a 20-year jump or a 10-year jump on most people before you start taking interest in this stuff at, like, say, 25. And I was still fucking around. Like,
Yeah, sometimes that's less beneficial because in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, I know at some point I'll kick into gear and fix it.
That's exactly how I used to think. Yeah. I got heaps of time. But what I didn't understand at the time is, but you're wasting all of these years of compounding.
Yeah, it's massive.
And now I got to play catch up.
Yeah.
The years where I'm like, I'm winning, man. I've stopped my KiwiSaver. I'm fucking investing for my retirement. So I'm going to be minted anyway.
That delay, what's the answer to fixing that delay?
Now I got to earn more money.
Yeah.
And play catch up.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. So, I think once you see this stuff, you can't unsee it. And that's the hard bit. I think that a lot of people don't want to see it. They don't want making more money to be the answer.
Well, and part of me is like, fair enough. Like, society almost says, rich are bad, tax the rich. Like, we're getting marketed that it's a bad thing to do.
Yep.
Like, just go check the laws. Like, the laws don't say you're not allowed to make unlimited money. Pay your tax, but go make as much as you want.
Yeah.
Don't worry about what the media say or what your friends neighbor, say or your neighbor. Fuck it. Go as hard as you like.
And it might not even be heaps. It might not be hundreds of thousands. But, you talk about a hunting season to really crush it and change your life, over an 18-month, even 3-year window and whatnot. But maybe apply the same thinking to making an amount of money that you haven't made before outside of your work. Maybe take 10% of your current income and then set yourself a goal. Right, you might get paid $60,000. Can I make $6,000 outside of my income? And learn those skills, because once you learn those skills, your life is changed forever, because you now can't unsee that and you can't have the data anymore that's like, I shouldn't have to do that. That's too hard. Oh, it couldn't happen for me. I didn't go to that school. Oh, that's different because they're fucking better looking at than me. All that bullshit is gone and you've beaten it with pure, I'm going to go into the market and I'm going to see.
Often, the other thing that I get when I say stuff like that to the messages is, I don't know what skill I've got. Like, and that's just an excuse, because the skill you have is what you're currently doing.
Yes.
And then telling people that you're capable of doing it.
And that's where people get stuck, because they're scared.
Yeah. And then if you tell people, and it's okay to do the first one free even.
Mm.
And then the price is, if I do it right, like, I'll do the next one and it will cost, or something along those lines.
Yeah.
You don't have to jump in and be like, I need to make $5,000 from offering my service after hours. Like, it doesn't have to be that.
Yeah.
Like, if, again, the year versus the week, like, think about this. This is the foundation. So it's okay to give away your first one free, whatever it is, like doing the bookkeeping on a Saturday night or whatever. If you've got a skill because you're doing something already, just implement it outside of work and see what happens.
Yeah, and do this. We've been encouraging people to do this for probably 2 years now, right?
Maybe longer.
Yeah. But do it before more people figure it out. Because I've written down here, this is hard to get started on this, but it's actually easy once you get going. But of course it's hard. Otherwise, everyone else would be doing it. But remember too that easy people ignore hard. So harden up and go. Because eventually their back will get put against the wall and they will have to, much like our friend who's basically, the switch is flicked because I'm having a baby.
Yeah.
They're in the market now.
Yep.
And that's one more person that you're competing with.
Yep.
And you don't know how many other people's switch is going to get flicked.
Yeah.
And I saw this really cool thing from Seth Godin talking about be around your competition. And basically what it was talking about is if you go to, say, a pier, like say you go down to the Viaduct and there's all the different restaurants, like they're around each other, they're competing with each other. So they have to level their game up because if you go to one and you have shit service, next time you're going to go to the other one.
Mm.
So they start to rise everybody up individually. But if you then go to, say, a pier with restaurants in other countries where they'll have someone standing out the front and they're like, sir, you know, we've got a table right here for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're around their competition and they know that if you walk past there, high chance you don't come back.
Got to fight for it.
Yeah. And that's that hunger. And we see this happening around us. But then when... And like the answer for them, if they want to keep that restaurant going, make more money. How do we do that? Let's get more people in here. Well, those people down there are doing this. We probably need to compete with them and do that one up on them. So we know and we see it that the answer for them is make more money. But when it comes to us, how are my interest rates? Like, what am I going to do in September when my interest rates roll over? Oh, hang on. Let's just do some simple math here. You have $10,000 a month of income, let's say, and you've got $12,000 now of interest, you've got a gap, like what do you think the answer is?
Find $2,000, baby.
Yeah. Like, and how do we do that? Well, it's probably not complain, leave comments about how the world, I fucking knew this, the World Economic Forum said that I owe nothing and be happy.
When you do this.
But those people, whenever I ask them, okay, you've got it all figured out, so like what are you going to do? No reply.
Mm.
And it's like you just want to be able to know that that was what was coming so that you can then be like, yeah, well, I'm already in that position. And and like, it's weird. You knew so much about it, but then you didn't even figure out how to counter that yourself anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So like I went through that patch myself of going through all of those rabbit holes and things. And like a lot of it is valid, I reckon.
Mm.
But my answer is different to them, eh? My answer is like, fuck, I've just got to crank and make sure that I get this right and can make as much as I legally can.
Yeah.
And make sure I sort myself out, because that is actually the only answer, because the other answer is just accepting defeat and staying exactly where you are. So I just think, yeah, there's two ways to look at that stuff, and one of them is to stay in it and one of them is to get out of it.
The other example I've got that's really timely, mate, and topical is that minimum wage is increasing by basically 2% before tax. You strip tax off of that, let's just say 20% to be kind, you're losing and you're only really increasing your wage by 1.6%. Now, that is not going to beat inflation, because historically inflation is 2 to 2.5, 2.4% over the last 20 years. If that beats inflation by the end of the year, I will be blown away.
It's not going to happen.
So then if I'm on minimum wage, what do I know my answer is? If I want more money, like if I'm not happy with that, what is my answer?
Go to your union leader. No, I know.
Yeah, it's make more money, right?
Yeah.
So imagine if Brooke Van Velden or whoever did the announcement about that was like, guys, we're only increasing the minimum wage by 2%. We know that that's probably not going to beat inflation. Unfortunately, that's all we can increase it by because we're worried about the wage price spiral. If you want more money, we're going to need you to go out there and earn extra income. You might want to start thinking about some other ways that you could get value out of the market rather than trading your time for an hour. Your hour for a dollar rate. And people would go, what the fuck is she talking about?
Yeah. This is not the Kiwi way.
Yeah. But that is literally what people need to learn, or will be what some of the people figure out and go, I don't know if I want to stay here forever or if I want to be on this. And I'm completely cool. Like if you can get by on that and you do want to do that, then that's fine. But I don't think people are telling you the true story.
To be honest, man, most people will have examples of them already doing this stuff in their past. I started at like around 13, 14 in the frozen food section in Pack and Save. Actually, no, I did paper run first. And then the paper run was like, cool, I've got some cash coming in. And then it was like, oh, there's another opportunity. Once I get to the certain age, I can go and work at a supermarket. That increases my income.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know, I feel like almost everyone has worked at like McDonald's or a supermarket or done a paper run lots of people, a gigantic percentage of them, don't stay the checkout operator forever, or don't stay flipping the burger patty forever. They go on to something else. It can be in the same company and you move up, but you probably used it as a stepping stone, and it was made a realization would have happened to you, like, I need to go and find more money. You're just not thinking of that these days.
Yeah.
Probably because you've been comfortable for a long time with falling interest rates. And
yes.
Yeah.
And we've had extra disposable income, and we've—
house prices going up, mate, don't worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Wealth effect and whatnot. But I just think that we're not being honest to Kiwis that this is actually part of the answer.
Yeah.
And we're too scared to have the convo, because I don't know what that does, or if there is some, you know, reality behind that at a political level where they're like, fuck, we can't talk like that. But you just think, all of the things that get marketed to you when times get tough, all of the articles you read— I read about two people who are in mortgage hardship recently. The first thing the article goes into is like, we reviewed their discretionary spending, because that's the easiest thing to do. You think about all the marketing, like, hey, we'll compare your insurance with another insurance provider. We'll compare your power company with another power company. Well, fuck me. Awesome. I saved myself $120 a year. Cool. I'm still fucked. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Is there anywhere I can go online to figure out someone like me where there's a tool I can type it in and go, oh, maybe that's what I could do for some extra cash?
Yeah.
Like, where are those advertisements? Where are the articles?
Right here, baby.
Yeah.
This is it.
But there's not much, right? And I think there's something broken with that. And it's whether the higher ups know and they don't want us to know. You can go down and find your own conspiracy theory. But what I discovered is that the answers are there if you start looking for them. But first you have to believe it's possible, and then actually have a look around and ask. Like, I'm all for tidying up your power and your insurance and all that stuff. Like, go and save that. But that stops. And
that's beginner level.
Yeah. Eventually the answer becomes earn more income.
Yeah.
And then you've got to go on that journey. So I don't know. This probably goes on for decades, where we continue to lie to people and not tell them the full truth.
Yeah, I also think that both of us have personal evidence of the benefit of doing this, which is we've seen both sides, and I can promise you it is better once you've got bigger cash flow, eh? They say money doesn't buy happiness and shit, but my life has never been better. And I reckon earning a higher income is a decent part of that, eh?
Man, 100%. Because, you know, before when I was talking about go on the, you know, that person was like, I'm going to have a baby, I need to stack some cash, because they want some financial security. There's something behind that that's told them, to their brain, to kick into gear of like, I need to stack some money. Because they didn't say, I want to earn some more money. They were like, we need to save X figure, and they had a figure, and they've blown it by 2X. Now, why I said before about the hunting season of go and save an amount of money that you haven't been able to before, and even earn an amount of money you haven't before, is because until you do it, you won't understand the stresses that it pulls out of your life. Because yes, money doesn't buy you happiness, blah, 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 all that bullshit, all those things we learn. But, you know, when you get bitten by a spider and you can't get into your GP and you're like, I need to solve this because it's dragging me down and I don't feel like 100%, but I need to be humming. And they say, well, you can— the lady said to me twice on the phone, you can come here, but you have to pay. And I'm like, that's fine. She's like, no, you have to pay before you leave. And I'm like, that is fine.
Yeah.
A long time ago, that was not fine. I would have been like, you know what? I jokingly said to the lady, I was like, I might be fucking dead if I wait to go to my GP. I don't know. Like,
I can't afford it. I've got to replace the fan belt in my car.
Bingo. And that's where I was going. So, you know, I could go and do that. And I left there and I said to Taz after, I was like, I've just spent $200 trying to get myself better, that I feel like the way that the tax system works that I thought years ago was that would look after me, and I would get in. And people have said, like, why don't you go to A&E? Well, yeah, I probably could have, and maybe that would have worked, but did I want to wait 6 hours? Not really with what I've got going on
at the moment.
Now, I can't do that if I don't have that cash. Same thing driving here today. It just parks somewhere, and it's like, you know, your car could get ticketed. And I'm like, on a Saturday? Like, surely not. And I'm like, I'm going to take the risk. And then worst case scenario to my head, I'm like, if I come back and there's a ticket on here,
I pay it.
Yeah, tough shit. It is what it is. That could sound massively arrogant, but years ago, I'd be like, oh, fuck, man, I'm moving my car.
Yeah.
I'm not taking this risk, man.
Yeah.
What is the ticket? Is it $30? Is it $60? Like, nah.
Yeah.
Whereas, so you start to worry about less stuff. same thing, drive here in a car that actually works compared to years ago when I hadn't gone through all of this. I would drive my car and every day I'd be like, fuck man, I hope this fan belt thing doesn't. And now I see people stranded on the motorway on the side and like I still get triggered. I'm like, oh, Jesus. I know what anxiety is. Yeah. I'm like, that looks scary as shit. I'm like, oh man, I hope it's expensive. Not that, I'm like, I hope it's not that fan belt. But imagine the stress and whatnot that they're going through. So I think money alleviates some of that stuff, but we don't want to be honest and tell people it does, because then, you know, you start to sound greedy. You start to sound like, oh, fuck it, it's all about the money and all this stuff. But, you know, find anybody who goes into a bit of hardship or something happens to them and ask them, what was it like having the money to be able to deal with that? And they will, you know, they will tell you what that's like. And you can't know what that feeling is like until you get yourself into that position. And I think that's why so many Kiwis at the moment are stressed out and they are worried about the economy and we're fighting and we're divisive and we are, you know, Labor didn't get back in. Statistically, that shouldn't happen. They should have got another 3 years. They should have done 9 years like every government does. But we're like, fuck man, give me some change. Like the ball guy will fix this, man, surely. And like maybe they will fix some things, but I don't, you know, if I'm a minimum wage, I'm like, well, I'm only getting a 2% pay rise and then after tax, oh, well, hang on, wait till 1 July, we'll get all these tax rate changes. They're not backdating them back to 2010 since, or even to pre the pandemic.
Meant to start indexing them from.
Yeah, and I think as well, you know, it was easy. It's easy to be like, oh, it's hard and we shouldn't have to make more money and stuff. But remember as well, you took money during lockdowns when you weren't having to work as hard for it.
Mm.
So if you just think about it like that, if that was genuinely you, think about it as a scale and go, was I on the good side of that? You know, was I getting some cash that I probably didn't really work for that I hadn't previously in my life? Now we've got to balance it back up where we've got to push a little bit harder because we got given it easily.
Yeah.
Now it's hard and we're surprised. So, you know, if you just think about it over a longer window and go, okay, 6 years of this or 10 years rather than just the three during the pandemic and what it used to be like, because that's what our memories can recover for us, we realize, okay, yeah, I've probably got to balance this out a little bit where I was idling and it was cushy and it was easy. Now it's a bit harder, but I'm swinging it back to even. I think too many people are like, nah, it should still be like this. It should be over here.
Yeah. And man, it is also, even when you have like a better income and you do improve it, like we were talking about it at the end of last year, like, fuck, it has been a grind. And then started this year and it's like, oh, it's just another grind. And then we watched that epic Tony interview and it was so refreshing hearing him go, it's just a winter.
Yeah.
I really like that, eh? And it's like, it does, summer does come, but you've just got to hang in there, like be a good person basically, and then just try and keep doing the right things. The return won't happen as much as it previously did in different times, but it will come at some point. And having a reminder of that, because fuck, it's a grind.
Yeah, we've been having conversations internally in my business this week where we're just frustrated at how slow it is to make some of the progress we have previously. And I said to Phil, I was like, mate, like, let's just remember that the work we're doing today, we'll get paid for in the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
So we just got to keep doing what we're doing. We know that it works. And I'm like, look at these other people who we compete with. I'm like, where have they all gone?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's really refreshing. The speed might not be there and the transactions might be there and the market might be way different. But I'm like, man, all these people we used to see and think like, oh shit, look at them doing that. I'm like, they're not doing anything. So in 2 to 3 years, we're going to get rewarded. So
that is also another like barrier for entry, so to speak, is to truly believe that if you do something now and know that you'll get paid later. Fuck, that is hard because we never get taught that.
No.
To teach yourself that, it goes against everything you've ever done. Like me, paper run, when the end of the week was done, money's in the account.
Yeah.
Pack and save. End of the week's done, money's in the account. Like it's instant.
Mm.
It's like you do a day's work, you get paid. And getting into the headspace of growing a bit and realizing that, I mean, it's delayed gratification, right? But doing heaps and heaps and heaps of work for no return immediately is like nothing you've ever experienced before, and it's very hard to grasp.
And then we're like, you know what else you can do? We'll lend you some money to buy shoes and shit ahead of getting paid, but we'll just take it out of your pay next time.
Yeah.
So we've like put it on steroids again. Good story for you from the week, mate. I was talking to a mate of mine and he was saying he moved to an Amex, not a keep the change listener, so loves a credit card, right?
Yeah.
But he said he applied for a $5,000 limit. Credit card turns up. Happy days, we've approved your credit card. Here it is. Make sure you sign the back of it, $50,000 limit.
Booyah.
Mm. And I'm like, man, in the hands of the wrong person?
Yeah.
What happens that weekend?
Oh, my God.
And he got in touch and was like, hey, five, not 50.
Yeah.
Oh, genuine mistake there, of course. And hey, you know, luckily he's got the education to go, man, that is just dangerous. But you're right. You know, it's been so easy to teach people to get things quickly without waiting. But once you start doing stuff and getting paid at a later date, you can't unsee it as well. And it's even, you know, some of the speaking fees and stuff and gigs that I got and the people getting in touch. And
do you reckon that would have happened without 4 years of podcasts?
Exactly. I spoke at a wedding recently and that made me level up that speech and the way I delivered it and things. And one of my mates said to me, he was like, as why is 5Gs, baby? I was like, don't forget the GST, man. I was like, you reckon we can get a 6K from here? So, you know, that doesn't happen without putting in the reps and believing that that will come back in the time. And that might not be your journey. So it might just be, I might go to the neighbors and I might clean Agnes's car because it's covered in shit next door and say, hey,
Agnes.
Yeah, I noticed your car looks dirty.
Definitely a neighbor's name.
So I'm going to clean your car, Agnes. And you do that. You don't know. The next week or a month later, she might come and knock on your door and say, Luke, can you please come and clean my car again? Mm. And here's a $50 note. And you go, whoa, the concept's real.
Mm.
You have to learn it. There has never been, you know, when lockdown hit and whatnot and there was more money getting pumped into the system, and it's old and it's gone now, but my biggest lesson a number of times was this money's going to flow through the economy. Make sure you grab some of it before it ends up in the housing market.
Yeah.
And then it's going to end up in the fuck, it's with the banks because they are ramming people and then it's going to end up back over with the Reserve Bank potentially, right? So we had to try and grab it. And I think people are like, I don't need to, man, because I am killing it because my Bitcoin's up 40% and you know, all the different things that were going on.
Yeah.
But it's a very different time now. But we have tools that allow us to make income that people would have loved to have had. You know, imagine me showing my granddad how hard he worked. Hey, mate, like check this out. Like check out this sources of income that I can have. And like watch this. I can post on Instagram and offer to help people with this. And they might message me back and I can go around to their house and I can make some money. He'd probably be like, fuck me. I wish I was born in your, you know, everyone's always got a different challenge in their time that they're alive and whatnot. But, you know, we've heard stories recently about people losing their roles and they are going into Uber driving. I told a mate about that. He's like, mate, funny you say that. Uber today that I got, dude was dressed sharp as, like nice car. Said to him, oh mate, you know, is this what you do all day? Like, dressed pretty well for this. He's like, nah man, I'm an XYZ and I won't say what it is because it could be unfair. Perhaps they're listening or someone might know them. I don't want them to feel bad. But a very high up role. And they were like, nah, market's real tight for me. Still have to drive into the office each day. So yeah, basically I wait till I pick up an Uber and take someone into the city that pays for my parking for the day. Same thing on the way home.
Wild, eh?
10 years ago, maybe, I don't know how long Uber's been around, but that wasn't possible. But also 3 years ago, I bet that bloke wasn't doing that. You know, so again, he's come into the market. How can I make some cash? I have to. I'm not fucking paying these parking fees. They're ridiculous. How can I trade value that I have, okay, my car into the city for that parking ticket? Solutions there. I was speaking to another professional who does very well, would be top 1% incomes in the country. And he said to me, he's like, mate, for the first time, I've put our holiday home on one of those bloody Booker Batch things.
Yeah.
He's like, let's just try it. He's like, hey, we got it booked out for 12 weeks. We weren't going to be in there anyway. So it's fucking unreal.
Yeah.
Seemed like great people that are going to have it, blah, blah, blah. And
those go for a lot of tin too if it's in the right place. Batches go hard in the Kiwi land.
And he's like, that's cash that we never would have had. So it's not just, you know, we've got to be thinking like, oh, I'm minimum wage or I'm broke or I'm feeling poor or I can't get by. we can all learn these skills. And now they get to decide what do they do with that. You know, for them, they might go, right, well, let's, you know, take the kids on a family holiday or whatever. But it will change then what they perceive, you know, they can be doing.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And like, and I know we always harp back to like the How to Think episode. But like zooming out and there's like solutions all around you. But when you're in panic or just not allowing yourself to look down on all the situations, you don't see these opportunities.
No.
You know, yeah, the best one I ever got told is like, why is this lawnmower man doing really good and this one's not, when they mow in the same area, they both fill up their days, whatever. So this one, when he walks into a place, he's looking at their roof and their gutter and their fence and their clothesline and the driveway, and then he finishes mowing the lawns and he says, oh, I can fix your fence for $80. Oh, your gutter's falling off. It's 120. I can sort that out. And like all these little add-ons from doing the same amount of time and job, really.
Nice.
Versus the thing. And I don't think when you get into like a rut or even just day-to-day life where when we're sleepwalking through, I still do it. Like I'm a mortgage broker now. I run the company. I turn up to work. And I don't look at much else. But you forget to look for things around you that could improve because what you're doing is just enough.
Mm.
And, you know, like you say, once the desperation kicks in, sometimes it forces you to look. But if you want to get ahead of it, you have to flip that switch in advance and try and use that ability that you do have to go and find these things because they're everywhere.
Yeah, and it's a really good point you make that when you go into that desperation mode and also when you are struggling, you feel like you're drowning. So you're just like, I need to get up for air, but it feels like everything's pulling me down. And you're hoping, I think, that someone's just going to come along underneath you and go like, fuck, here you go. I'll hold you here. You're sweet. But you can't see that, oh, shit, you know, I'm like treading water, but I could just stand up.
Yeah.
But you're so like panicked that you can't see what else is happening around you. Now, I see this all the time because business owners will come and they'll be like, I've got this going on, there's all this and we can't do this. And everything's like, we can't do it because of this and we can't because of that. And it is a roadblock at every turn. You keep giving them solutions and it's like, no. And they just actually want to be heard to start with. And then like, oh, you know, what do you think would happen if you tried this? Oh, and then you keep digging through it and eventually they start to see the answers. But same thing when people email with Keep the Change and whatnot, it'll be, you know, I got one that was basically like, I can't earn extra income because I work this time till this time and then it's dark by the time I get home and whatnot. And I'm like, oh, do you work 7 days a week? No. I'm like, oh, what about the Saturday or Sunday?
Oh, no. Hard truths.
Well, no, I can't do that. And I'm like, oh, well, then you can't want what you want. But like, don't worry about it. Like,
send it to the most violent action taker I know is the wrong person.
But you could tell it was a light bulb where they're like, oh, okay. And I'm like, okay, what about one Saturday a month for a year? Just to see if I'm right. Okay. And you said your partner's on board with this too. So surely, because someone made up
75% of the battle's done then.
Yeah. Someone made up that you have to work Monday to Friday and you can't go and do it. I get that. That's cool. But then righto, Saturday.
Mm.
Why don't we just try? And then they come back like, I'm doing Saturdays and Sunday just one weekend.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, this is exciting. I might do two.
It's interesting, eh? Like all of this that we're talking about, I'm having flashbacks of my own, like trying to start my own business period. And like you've seen the post on the Keep the Change school community that I did about when I started out. Like, I went savage cost cutting. Yeah. And so I was like, right, I need to get these expenses right down if I'm going to do this because I need to basically reduce my downside risk. So I went and found a house that had a one bedroom. I don't even know if you'd call it that, just like a little shitter on the back of the garage. And the house was like $780 a week, I think. But we lived in the shitter out the back, and then I rented the rest of the house out, which I got $770 for. And I was like, it worked out with expenses and stuff that my bills were $17 a week.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But like, I went through that process. I didn't live like that before.
Mm.
I was in like a Gucci room with you know, walk-in wardrobes, and like I had to reverse. I sold my V8 and bought a Corolla, like literally.
Yeah.
And like I went through that. I didn't have this podcast to listen to do it, but I just had to like make the call, man.
Mm.
And I look back now and I never, ever want to go back to that scenario.
Yeah, yeah.
It was horrible. I did like a good 18 months to 2 years there. And man, like I wish that upon no one. Like the room leaked, it was moldy. Fuck, yuck. But I thank myself so much for doing it, eh? When I look back, because it was literally the foundation that allowed me to run on fumes so I could go and start providing a service and spend extra time on it. You know, I could focus on this thing that I believed that would be able to help me in the future. And man, like, just cheers to me, eh?
Good boy. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I just come back from last weekend, a wedding on Waiheke with one of my best mates, and I was best man for that. And when we got going on both of our individual journeys, we spent a month house sitting on Waiheke, and it was not during summer, it was during winter, and it was cold, and we couldn't afford to do anything, so it didn't fucking matter. But we thought we were the bee's knees, but also between us, we could afford one concession card for the whole month to get back and forth trips. So we had 10 trips and we spent two going over, and we needed two to get home. Yeah. So that gives us six. So we had to ration that. And I said to, you know, in my speech, I'm like, mate, now you're fucking getting married on Waiheke.
Yeah.
This is crazy. The car ferry cost me $300. I was still fucked off about that.
But yeah.
Back then, no. Yeah. You know, we couldn't do that. And, you know, funny, yesterday before I left the office, I put up a reel about how I've just signed a lease for a new place for the next 12 months, $1,200 a week rent.
Coming over to the good side too, mate.
Yeah, over the bridge.
Yeah.
And we'll do more content about this, but it's a very rewarding feeling, because when I was had less money and coming through and whatnot, I would visualize what it would be like to have a view like what we're about to have. Now, I'd say probably 8 days into living there, I'll probably take it for granted.
Yeah.
So I'll have to remind myself. So I'll probably write something on one of the windows. Yeah.
Yeah.
And because like sometimes what I'll say is the photos in my photo album are starting to look like the images I had in my brain.
Yeah, nice.
But you have to remind yourself of that, because it's so easy just to then go to the next thing and whatnot. But same as you, I couldn't afford rent. You know, I got to a point where I could, and I'm like, man, now I'm going to trade all of my disposable income for a one bedroom shitbox apartment.
And go back to no money again.
Yeah. And it was $650 a week.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I knew in myself, I'm like, this is a good use of my money, because I will turn it into more money. So I have the same thinking around the next place that we're going to, because there's something about a view for me.
It's just got another zero on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I put up the reel saying, you know, am I spending $1,200 a week on rent? A, because I want to pay someone else's mortgage. B, I'm in the World Economic Forum and I own nothing and I want to be happy. Or C, because I'm going to triple that.
Yeah.
And I think because people who know me are like, well, it must be C, because we've heard them take the piss out of A and B so much. But the funny thing is, I don't know how yet. But I know that I've got 12 months to figure it out. And my brain is already like, okay, you could make sense of paying for that rent. You now need to prove it. And you now need to figure out why it is a good investment.
It's a scary place to be as well, by the way.
What's that? That high up?
No. Oh. Like, not being 100% certain of where that is going to come from.
Exactly. Yeah. And I know that I can.
You're doing this purely on belief.
Yes.
That's fucking wild.
However, over the last couple of years, I could have afforded to go and do it.
Yeah.
But
you also have past evidence of doing a similar situation before that was successful. Maybe different numbers, but you've achieved it already.
Yeah. But I still have to go and do the work.
Yeah.
So just want to highlight that, because, you know, I started with zero and then I had to have the belief to, you know, go back to living at home and those sorts of things and then try and figure out this, mate, the answer back then was make
Harvey,
more cash.
Harvey Norman Hardware, I see you started with negative 15.
And that'd be right. Yeah. Might have been negative 30 at one stage. Yeah. Anyway. But the answer then was like, if you want to get out of home and don't want to be living with your folks anymore, you need to make more money. And then it was, okay, I got into my apartment and the first thing I did was set up a desk, a shitty $200 desk with a glass thing. I don't even know how to fucking put it together because I'm that useless. And then I set my laptop up and I'm like, you know what I need to do? I need to get back to work because I need to make more cash because I don't know if I want to live here for too long and I can't believe what it costs to live in the city. And now I go up again into a different, like a crazy amount, but it's probably not when you compare it to what people are now paying for mortgages and stuff like that. But we'll break it all down and I'll show people how in my mind I've justified it's okay to pay $1,200 a week in rent, bearing in mind that my partner is contributing to that too. So she's pumped about it, but I've had to get her on board. Like I've had to get her to be comfortable with that too.
Part of the challenge.
Yeah. But now I've got to go through the journey of, okay, not fucking waste it because I could be investing some of that cash and just staying where we are. So now I need to figure out how I can then turn that spend into more. Again, the answer is I'm probably going to need to make more money.
Yeah.
You know, so everybody's in a different place with this and that's completely fine. But I think the key message of this is that you are being lied to, that no one is saying to you, hey, the real answer is you need to learn how to make some more money. Now, this is, oh, we'll get to that in a second, but I'll give people some resources because it's very easy just to say that's the thing, but not actually go, well, here's what you needed to go and do. But we've done those in different pods. So three reminders, Money Mail, the ultimate fuck inflation guide. It walks you through how you can go out there and make some extra cash. Number two, the More Money webinar. Bearing in mind, these resources are from 2021 and 2022, early 2022. So it's not like we're just, some genius has been like, oh, we know what the answer is now. This is preempting. This would be helpful. And then I sat down and I spent a whole weekend building out some data and some resources to Ticks You leading into the election. So did I need to do that? No. Did I want to? Yes. Because the more people that learn this shit, then things change. Because this is what I saw yesterday and I love this because I've been thinking about this massively. The man, and he's on like my vision board from years ago of types of people who I think that's an awesome person to try and live into some of their values and stuff. He's been pestered by the media saying, you know, is China our biggest threat to America? And he goes into dad mode and he's pointing the finger and he's just like, we are our biggest issue. Yeah. Basically saying, if we don't get along and if we don't build education and stuff like that, like this country is going to just tear itself apart.
Yeah.
And I think we're on that path where instead of telling people and giving them the resources that they actually need to succeed in a modern economy, we're like, nah. We'll just change the tax rates a little bit. But if you just go and look at some data. Now, the thing I saw the other day, for instance, is by 2053, one in two people over 65 will be renting. If you don't want to be renting after 65 and you don't want that to be the case, the answer is...
Two of two in here.
The answer is make more money, right?
Yeah.
But instead, we're like, oh, fuck, it's disgusting.
System's fucked.
Exactly. Yeah. Instead of being like, holy shit, okay, if that's the path we're on and it's modeled out data, I probably need to figure out if I don't want to be a part of that, what am I going to do? And even just start thinking, what does the country look like if that's the case? Because I think all good and well, I'm like, now that I know that, I can make sure that if I want to own a home in 2053, like I can make that happen. But my brain goes to who owes that? Then I go to, well, I'd imagine by then rents are going to be X and the pension's only going to be Y because there's more and more strain on the pension system. And then I'm like, who's going to pay that? I'm like, the taxpayer's going to pay that too.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to sort myself out, but I'm going to have to pay more tax. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I should probably push harder with this now to try and educate more people.
Yeah, man.
So that then we can have a stronger economy. Because like, imagine if 10,000 people over time listening to Keep the Change go out there and learn skills to make more money and they go out internationally. And then they bring that cash back into the country and they pay more taxes on that, et cetera. They've got those skills. They teach their kids that. And we just become a completely different nation. You know, it would be awesome to see.
Yeah.
Rather than like, don't worry, guys. National are here now. We'll sort it all out and give us, you know, just give us a few years. And I'm not ragging on the politicians, whatever side. I'm just saying, like, it's so easy. It's so easy to think that they're going to change all these things and everything will change. But I think everything's probably just everywhere you look's a little bit too shaky. You're almost like, cool, I'm going to let them do their thing and that's cool, but I'm going to get out of that for a while and I'm going to figure out what are some things that I could be doing for me, my family, and my kids.
Yeah. You only have to zoom out on like the history of like the tax system and politics to realize more legislation, more tax the whole time, and then everyone says now is like the hardest time. So like how does more of the same fix it? It's Labor, National, it's always one of the teams. And then how does it equal the hardest time ever and then doing more of it will fix it? It's just dumb. So just like do your own thing.
Yeah, there we go. Righto, mate. I think we've gone through all of my notes there. I feel like we were going to end up with about an hour there.
What are we?
Don't know. Maybe probably about
Arrow three.
Oh, how good.
Nailed it.
That was grunty. That's been awesome, mate. I feel like I've needed that counselling session almost to get it off my chest.
Yeah, I could tell yesterday that you were edgy.
Yeah.
And I didn't actually sleep that good last night because I blocked out some time yesterday to do some thinking for this day.
Yeah.
And I was quite excited, eh? Because I was like, first of all, I've thought of some stuff that I want to talk about. Second of all, Luke looks like he is firing.
Yeah. I'm going to come in here and explode.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just hope that more people can see this, but see it from a good angle rather than, you know, easy for them guys to say and blah, blah, blah. But it could just be the spark that gets people on their path to go, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. Mm. And, hey, I don't want it to be the answer, but given the circumstances at the moment, it's the truth and it is what it is and I'm not hearing it elsewhere. You've got some resources to figure it out and you might get to do it for a year, 2 years, 3 years. You might only do it for 6 months, whatever, but you have a play with it to see what it does for you. And then at least you've done it at some stage in your life. Because I genuinely think that it then decreases the likelihood that you think the system's broken and you get real wound up about politics and just everything because you realize like, oh shit, I can do this too.
Mm.
Why was I stuck over there listening to all this stuff for so long?
Yeah. I mean, just before we go, like, probably one of the most offensive clips in the world came out the other day where our central bank governor was joking about printing money and it's a good business to be in.
Yeah.
You know, and it took off around the world. And, it's funny because I think it was probably a silly time to say that. I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, if you listen to this podcast, you already know that's happening.
Yeah.
Like, it's fuck. But if that stuff does truly wind you up, like, just remember that nothing has changed before the comment was made and nothing changes after the comment was made, you still need to be responsible for sorting you out.
Yeah, it's funny, the amount of people that were so wound up with that. My first reaction is like, oh, wicked, they've kind of finally told everyone.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is what we've been talking about.
Since 2020.
Yeah, I'm like, this is not a surprise. But it's probably not great timing. But also I think Adrian was like quite a funny guy. Like he's got a bit of a sense of humor, but that was not a good joke from...
Nah.
That would probably be... One of those.
You didn't want the camera on that one.
No, definitely not. Because it just fuels like the Bitcoin side of things and stuff like that. And then the people that are down the conspiracy. But, you know, the same thing, people tell me like Bitcoin's the future. I'm like, wicked, man. How much you got?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
What are you doing to earn it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you said something interesting to me the other day around that, which probably turns into another pod topic. But Bitcoin, basically, to get some, you've got to then have something to then go and buy it and then it just sits there and you hope that it goes up in value.
And not only that, its volatility is so wild that it actually, if you've been around it long enough and watch it, it goes up and down like a fucking yo-yo. But to be able to hold it, you have to be a productive human with enough cash flow to be able to sit through massive drawdowns to experience the upside.
Yeah. 'Cause
you don't know when it's going to fucking drop by 75%.
Yeah.
But if you needed that cash, because you don't have a productive role or
ability to produce income,
cash flow,
yeah,
and you need that, you might be needing the liquidity of that after you've lost 75% of it, which is another fuck up.
Mm.
So it sort of teaches you that, which is, and I mean, the upside on it looks amazing, but yeah, you still have to be a machine to be able to hold it.
Yeah, and you're only really right if you can get in and get out, if you need to get out.
Yeah.
you know, with the right timing, because you could be right and Bitcoin could be everything and it could be freedom and all these things people tell me. But if you had still had to sell at the bottom because your mortgage interest amounts were too much or whatever, I don't want to hear in fucking 6 years that you're like, oh, I had it once. I told you. I told you. You're like, well, dude, you sold it. So you kind of told me you didn't.
Yeah.
So then you want to figure out, well, then how can I keep producing so that you can keep stacking it if that's your thing?
But the answer is just to make more money, man.
Let's get the fuck out of here.